I appreciate Donnie reading those verses. They're going to be very important for us as we study from God's Word tonight, although I won't have time to address them very much. I'm glad we had time to read them this evening as we begin our lesson. I appreciate so much you being here and the service we've had thus far, the singing, and as we've offered up our hearts in prayer to God. And we had a very good service this morning. I'll echo Gary Steen's remarks. Heath is a young man who's very talented. And I tell him often, I think he's probably the best 21-year-old preacher that there is. I told him this morning, I think his lesson sounded like a preacher who'd been preaching 10 or 15 years full time. And he's working very hard to become a better preacher. He's also committed himself to go and to live in a place where there's not hardly any Christians, and he and his family are going to be very lonely, and the work is going to be very hard. And we need to encourage him. Renee is thinking about being his wife and entering into that work with him. And so we need to encourage her too. And I suspect as their life continues on, if they're blessed to do the type of work they want to do, they're going to look back at the short amount of time they spent here. And they're going to think about the people here. And they're going to think about the encouragement they received. Because probability is they will not spend very many times with congregations like this. A lot of their work will be in homes, small congregations, where the smallest amount of encouragement is such a struggle. And so really encourage them while they're here. Tonight's lesson, I want to continue talking about conversational evangelism. And in this series, the first couple of lessons that we had were particularly on cultivating, stimulating, and recognizing opportunities as we seek to share God's Word in everyday conversation. And this represents the greatest opportunities we have in our very fast-paced society. And as we stimulate these conversations, we seek to have five different types of conversations with our friends and our neighbors and our family. The first one we talked about last time, we learn about them and their religion. And as we learn about them and show them that indeed we care about them as individuals, they were not seeking simply to get some sort of brownie points for baptizing someone, but that we genuinely care about their souls and their relationship with God. And that we take time to learn them personally. And to learn the things which are lacking in their lives and seek to effectively communicate the truths revealed within the Word of God. Then in the lesson we're going to talk about tonight, we also seek to identify common ground. In general, establishing common ground based on the Word of God deals with two areas. Just to overview these two very quickly and move on to Bible examples of these things. First of all, we identify areas which we have in common with individual people. Turn your Bibles tonight to Acts chapter 22 and beginning in verse 5. And here the Apostle Paul is speaking to Jews who were angry with him and wanted to put him to death. And to be effective in speaking with these individuals, we see that first of all, he established common ground. He showed them that he used to be exactly where they were in life. And he says this, beginning in verse 1, "Brethren and fathers, hear my defense which I now offer to you." And when they heard that he was addressing them in the Hebrew dialect, they became even more quiet. And he said, "I am a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city. educated under Gamaliel, strictly according to the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, just as you all are today. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and putting both men and women into prison, as also the high priest and all the council of the elders can testify. From them I also received letters to the brethren and started off for Damascus in order to bring even those who were there to Jerusalem as prisoners to be punished. And so Paul is immediately establishing common ground. I used to be exactly as you are today, and just as zealous and probably more zealous for the Mosaic traditions of the law. And then after establishing that common ground, he proceeds on to preach to them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oftentimes, the mistake that we make with individuals, not only the mistake we talked about last time, we do not take time to get to know them. Sometimes we're just in a hurry to cram this book down their throats, not even knowing if they need this book any more than they already have it. We make false assumptions sometimes, assuming they are sinful heretics. Beth told me a story. Someone was talking to her and assumed that she was just a heretic and needed the gospel of Jesus Christ without knowing or understanding anything about her, and then they would have found out she's a godly woman. They were in a hurry to say what they wanted to say without even knowing the person they wanted to say it to. After making that mistake, sometimes we fail to take the time to establish something that is in common between us. And to do that, we have to open up to people. And sometimes we're afraid to do that. We're afraid to be vulnerable. As the Apostle Paul here is doing, admitting years after the fact that he personally used to persecute Christians, throwing them in prison, separating them from their families, making them as miserable as possible, attempting to get them to blaspheme. I'm sure he did not enjoy opening up and confessing his sins years later, but this was necessary to reach the people he wanted to preach to so that they understood he used to stand and walk in their shoes. And he knew perfectly what he was talking about. Besides establishing some common ground on a personal level, we need to identify the areas upon which parties agree. This is very important. We're going to spend a lot of our time tonight talking about this as we get into the application of the lesson. Once we can identify the areas of a doctrine in particular upon which we agree, we can use those things to teach the truth. Because there are things that people are already familiar with. There are things people have already thought about. There are things people are already convicted upon. And when we can take those areas and use it to show the things which are lacking in their life, our success rate jumps exponentially. Let me give you an example of this in Acts chapter 26. First of all, in verses 2 and 3, here Paul is making his defense before Agrippa. And he is establishing this common ground of doctrine. In respect to all the things of which I am accused by the Jews, I consider myself fortunate, King Agrippa, that I am about to make my defense before you today. Especially because you are an expert in all customs and questions among the Jews. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. Here, Paul is establishing that they have common ground. that Agrippa was an expert in the things which the Jews had brought before them, and he could perfectly decide upon them. Later on, as he is wrapping up his defense in verses 26 and 27, we mentioned this passage in the last lesson. Read with me these two verses. "For the king," Paul says, "knows about these matters, and I speak to him also with confidence, since I am persuaded that none of these things escape his notice. For this has not been done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do." Now, what's Paul doing here? He is explaining to King Agrippa the things of Christ concerning those things which are prophesied. And if one believes the prophets, he must therefore of necessity believe the things that are taught based upon those things which they prophesied of. And so Paul understands that King Agrippa is an expert in these things of the Jews, and that he knows the things which are taught by the prophets, and he's using those things which Agrippa was familiar with to preach to him the things of Christ. And so we must have a common ground with those we seek to reach with the gospel of Christ from a personal level. And also, if we understand those things upon which we agree, upon the things that they are correct in their understanding of the Word of God, then we can use those things as a springboard to teach the things which are lacking. Go with me in your Bibles over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And I want us to notice here that the Apostle Paul worked very hard and very diligently in establishing common ground. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and begin with me in verse 19, he says this, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all so that I may win more. To the Jews I became as a Jew so that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law as under the law, though not being myself under the law, so that I might win those who are under the law." Does this sound like one who is developing common ground? It says, "When I was with the Jews, I lived as a Jew. When I was with those who were not under the law of Moses, as a Gentile, I lived as a Gentile, because I wanted to have common ground with them." Continue on. "To those who are without law, as without law, though not being without the word law of, not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men so that I may by all means save some. I do all things for the sake of the gospel so that I may become a fellow partaker of it." Now, to what extent did Paul go to develop common ground? Maybe we could say that he bent over backwards. And brethren, do we bend over backwards to establish common ground with other people? Do we become all things to all people, remaining under the law of God, the law of Christ, not doing anything that's wrong? But besides that, do we do everything that is possible to be able to relate to everyone we can? Sometimes I wonder if we do or not. Let me ask you this. What does God think when we don't seek to establish common ground like Paul did? Maybe it's because we're too lazy. Maybe it's because we're too lazy. Maybe it's to take up a hobby so that we could build a relationship with someone. Maybe we are sitting in our stinking lazy boys so much that we can't go outside when the neighbor is standing out watering the lawn. What do you think God thinks about that? And we sit in our fancy churches, wondering why more people aren't here, when we're not seeking to establish any common ground with people. If we run into someone and we just so happen to have some commonalities, that's fine. But Paul didn't do it just when by happenstance someone was there and he had something in common. He became weak so he could reach a weak person. He lived like the Jews so he could reach the Jews. He lived like the Gentiles to reach the Gentiles. Paul did whatever it took. And brethren, can we say that about ourselves? And if we can't, and we're sitting around wondering why we can't reach people who are lost, that's one of the answers. Present day examples. Turn your Bibles with me over to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. And I want to look at this passage for just a second. We've looked at it before, but we have to think about it. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. Now, what this is telling us is that every generation of every age must, through wisdom, understand how to reach people who aren't Christians. How do we reach them with the gospel? In the time of Paul, you could go to the marketplace. And there were special places designated where anybody wanted to could go out and make a speech, and there might be a few hundred people come around and listen. That was fine. Not too long ago, you could put up a tent. And people, because of their boredom, would come to the tent and they would hear the gospel preached, and maybe 100 people within a couple of days were converted to Christ. We don't have marketplaces anymore and tents. You can set up a tent, but nobody's going to come. What works today? Establishing common ground and building relationships with people. Remember these statistics. 79% of people who are going to a particular church today are doing so because a family member or a friend invited them. That's someone they have common ground with and they have a relationship with. So if we're going to walk wisely toward those who are outside in our day and age, we do not put up a tent somewhere. We establish common ground and develop a relationship. Remember also this statistic. 95% of people from the world who are converted were first attracted to the truth by witnessing a Christian's moral and religious life. 95%. It used to be, a few generations ago, people would come to the tent, they would hear a preacher they knew nothing about, had perhaps never witnessed the life of the person there preaching who's traveling from place to place to place, but because of this book were convicted in their heart and converted to Christ almost instantly. We do not live in that day anymore. 95% of people today who are converted to Christ do so first after seeing a Christian live a Christian life and being well acquainted with that individual. That's why individuals oftentimes must visit with us 20 times or more before either deciding to have a Bible class and then eventually being converted into Christ, or perhaps even if they're a Christian, placing membership. If we are going to be wise in our day and age, we cannot expect people to obey the gospel the way they did 2,000 years ago, standing in a marketplace that does not even exist in our country, or by putting up tents. That's the way it used to be done. They were doing what was wise in their generation. In our generation, it's different. What are some present day examples of establishing common ground with people today? How about religious living? How can we establish common ground based on religious living? How many people do you know that go to church? Somewhere. That's common ground. How many times have you ever complimented them on the fact that they go to church? The Apostle Paul, we saw last time, complimented the heathens on Mars Hill because they were religious in every respect. Well, they were lost in sin. But you see, there was some common ground there because they were still religious. Unfortunately, what do we want to do sometimes? We don't want to compliment anyone for anything. And so we end up alienating everyone instead of reaching out and establishing the common ground that exists. How many people do you know that study their Bible? Read their Bible? Have you ever said, you know, that's great that you read your Bible. We have something in common. How many people do you know that pray before their meals? I told you this story. We were sitting out at Starbucks one time outside. I don't remember the occasion. We enjoy doing that sometimes, and we don't get to do it very often, but a young lady was there with a young child. Mother and child is what it looked like to me. And they had got a little something for breakfast, and they prayed. I had to say something to that lady. I don't know where she goes to church. I don't know anything about her religious beliefs at all, but what she did was a good thing. Common ground. How about moral standards? Moral standards. What common ground can we build with individuals on moral standards? Not abusing drugs. It's not hard to start up a conversation about not abusing drugs. If you have a neighbor that perhaps thinks it's wrong to get drunk or to drink, or you have a neighbor that doesn't smoke or use tobacco, common ground. Do you have a neighbor or a friend who is a parent and raising their children to remain sexually pure until marriage? Talk about that. Common ground. Family is important. Raising children in the Lord. Helping children get to heaven. How many people do you know that are not members of the Lord's church that are doing their best to raise good children? Common ground. When's the last time you told them they're doing a good job? And then you get to talk about the great families right here. You get to tell them about the families here. And you get to tell them about the Bible classes here. And you get to tell them about our elders as they stand before the congregation and they pray. We're teaching parents to be good parents and children to be the children they ought to be. See, without saying so, or not in so many words, you're saying, hey, you want to raise a good family, you need to be here. Common ground. How about conversation about work? How many people do you know who are cheating their employers by being lazy? Well, that's a good conversation to have with someone else who may be like you and they think that's wrong. Why is it wrong? Because the Lord says it's wrong. Common ground. How about areas of doctrine? There is one God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Messiah. God created the world. Prayer. How to pray, when to pray, what to pray about, what not to pray about. There is absolute truth, the Bible. There is judgment, heaven and hell. All these conversations. And with a lot of our friends and our neighbors, we're going to have commonality with all these. And we'll talk in a moment how to use this commonality effectively. And most of all, use the example of our lives. When is the last time you told someone about your life? When is the last time you were like the Apostle Paul to someone who was living in sin and say, you know what, I used to be right where you are. And let me tell you how I got out of it. But sometimes we're too ashamed, aren't we? Sometimes we don't want to admit that we ever made a mistake. And I've told you the stories before of those who have studied with our brethren and thought, these people are perfect. There's no way I can ever be like them. All these people at this church, they're perfect. They've never done anything wrong. I cannot be here. I can't stand it when I hear stories like that. Because that reflects brethren who are pretending to be something they are not. And instead of reaching out to people, developing common ground and saying, look, I used to be where you are, let me tell you how I got to where I am, they end up alienating people. And if we have any apostolic example at all in the Bible, we must be willing to bear our soul to people so that we can show them how a sinner changes his life to get to God. That's what people are looking for. And if we pretend to be perfect, we're never going to show them. Use your life. Use the story of your life. As we establish this common ground, we must identify the areas on which we agree doctrinally and begin setting a precedent. And these precedents are very, very important because we are taking the things that people already believe correctly. And we are establishing the reasons that they believe these things correctly. And then when we have the chance to talk about the things which are lacking in their understanding, we're going to go right back to these things they already believe correctly. Some things that we can agree upon. That God's Word is truth. And you know the scripture, John 17:17, to sanctify them in the truth, your Word is truth. And there are some principles as we're developing this common ground that we can set forth and we can reiterate from time to time. One is this: you're either with God or against Him. There is no gray area. There is no fence straddling. And didn't Jesus say that? You're either with me or against me. And we can set forth that principle and reinforce it as we're building this common ground. Here's another one. If we disagree, both of us can't be right. One of us can be right or both of us can be wrong. One or the other. But then sometimes we're unwilling to admit the fact that we might be wrong about something. And then we look proud and boastful instead of humble and contrite, willing to do whatever the Word of God would have us to do. We can also agree upon this issue: everything we do must be according to God's Word. And these are general things. People are going to agree upon these general things just in basic principle. Start talking about the details, now that's another matter. But we can talk about the scriptures that Donnie has read for us already this evening. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we talk about that when we're talking about things we agree upon. Why do we agree upon it? Because that's what is authorized in the Word of God. 2 John 1:9, anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Why do we agree upon this thing? It's because we've not gone too far. We've not gone beyond what God tells us in His Word. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, turn your Bibles over there one more time tonight. One more time tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 3. In verses 16 and 17. As we talk about these things and as we find common ground with our friends, our neighbors, our family, we base it upon this fact that all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, correction, training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be, I like the King James, complete, furnished to every good work. And we build upon these principles. I believe it because it's in the Bible. Have conversations with people, and you agree upon these things. And you're thinking in your mind, how do I set forth these principles? I believe it because it's in the Bible. Say it and say it often. I don't believe it because it's not in the Bible. I believe something different because Jesus said something different. God doesn't give us all the do nots, but He gives us all the do's. And reiterate these principles over and over and over again while establishing this common ground. And then later on, when those areas of disagreement come about, go back to these principles which you've reiterated over and over and over and over again. Establish precedence. Agree on issues based on the authority of God's Word. In a conversation, a religious conversation, ask a question. Why aren't animal sacrifices acceptable to God in the church? That's a fantastic question. And make sure you catalog the answer. Usually the answer is, well, it's in the Old Testament and it's not in the New Testament. That's usually the answer. And don't forget that answer. Because one day down the road, you'll be talking about instruments of music in the church. And you'll say, why do you use instruments of music in your church? And they'll say, well, it's in the Old Testament. You say, whoa, wait a minute. Why did you say that you don't have animal sacrifices in the church? Well, because that's in the Old Testament. Now, wait a minute here. You know, it's one or the other. And then your conversation goes all the way from there. I'll tell you another one that's one of my favorites. Could you have cookies and milk for the Lord's Supper? No, couldn't do that. Why not? Well, that's not in the Bible. Okay. Well, what is in the Bible? Well, you use unleavened bread and fruit of the vine. Okay. Well, could we have unleavened bread, fruit of the vine, and then just have cookies? because I like cookies. No. Why not? So what cookies aren't in the Bible? Okay. Could we just have the fruit of the vine and not the bread? No. Well, why not? Well, because it's unleavened bread and fruit of the vines. Okay. And don't forget that. It may be a few weeks later. And then you're talking about something else. Maybe mechanical instruments of music in the church. Why do you have those mechanical instruments of music in the church? Well, God didn't tell us not to. So, but wait a minute. Tell me again why you don't have cookies and milk on the Lord's table. And so as we develop this common ground, we are building a basis by which we are teaching principles of authority. And I'll tell you something. The Lord knows my heart. I'm not bragging. You know my heart. You know me well enough. I'm not bragging about anything. The cookies and milk analogy on the Lord's table has worked every time. After I dropped my glasses. Has worked every time in showing someone why we don't use mechanical instruments. It's an analogy that they can plainly understand. And then we can apply it to something else. During this time of building common ground, we need to continue to learn their vocabulary. Know the words that they use and what they mean. And speak in a manner that they know and they understand. Common ground requires a common vocabulary. Don't forget that. Common ground requires a common vocabulary. And if you are the one that is reaching out to your friend, neighbor, family member, you are the one who is going to have to take it upon yourself to learn their vocabulary and be able to effectively use it. How do we do this? We ask questions to learn what certain terms they use mean. We use questions to learn how they express concepts. And in a general conversation, we may ask, what do you think that means? We may use a word and we may say, what do you think that word means? Let me give you an example of some terms that people don't understand or think they mean something differently. Repent. If we're going to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone, we have to be settled on what this word repent means. Many people in the world today think it means something totally different than what it really means. Here's another one for you. Baptize. We're going to have to understand what that word means to effectively communicate. Here's a concept for you that's widely misunderstood in religion today. Confess. You want another one? One more. Believe. And if we're going to teach someone the gospel, what do we got to teach them? Believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. And I tell you the truth, most people in the world today don't know what those four things mean. And if we're sharing the gospel with someone and we're saying, you know, you have to repent to be saved, we're thinking one thing and they are thinking something else. Why is that? We've not taken time to learn their vocabulary and let them learn ours and have a common vocabulary. If we don't do this, we are going to spin our wheels. We're going to try to communicate with people saying one thing that to them means something else. And in large part, we're going to waste our time. More importantly, we're wasting the Lord's time. Why? Unfortunately, too often, because we're too lazy. Because we can't miss our show. Because I have to sit in my recliner 4 hours every night. Therefore, I just want to cram this book down everybody's throat. And if they don't accept it, that's their problem, not mine. And I'm not saying that's my attitude or your attitude. But I know that's some people's attitude. If that's my attitude, I would hate to be me come judgment. Our attitude must be like the Apostle Paul. I'll win the most I can. I will do whatever I have to do to reach someone. Though I'm free from all men, I will make myself a slave to all that I might win more. I have become all things to all men so that I may by all means save some. I do all things for the sake of the gospel so that I may become a fellow partaker of it. I turn off my TV and get out of my recliner so I get to know my neighbor better. Do you see the difference? Last Sunday morning, I talked about one thing that I thought was the greatest temptation for us today in this world, and that is materialism. This perhaps is the second one. Laziness. Brethren, we need to think about this. I need to think about this. And I'll leave that with you. We're going to extend the gospel invitation. Number 312. Are you coming to Jesus tonight? Perhaps you are like me, and I was speaking to myself tonight. You need to rededicate yourself to the Lord to reach the lost a little more effectively. I want you to do that. Perhaps, though, you're not a Christian, and you need to dedicate yourself to the Lord for the first time. And that invitation is extended to you. Exactly as we talked about tonight. As the Lord tells us in His Word, if you believe with all your heart, repent of your sins, change from the wrong to do the right, willing to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God because that's what you believe, willing to obey Him to be baptized into Christ for